You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy.
Previously on Time to Die.
Mate, it's the first episode.
Shit.
I'm Paul, and I'm playing Kalana, a stunningly beautiful female high elf who is also a rogue because she has decided she cannot stand the inequalities of a world in which her family and her people have so much more privilege and wealth than everyone else. So she's fighting back against that inequality one slash of her rapier at a time. Also, don't be confused by the sexy voice that you're hearing now. You just have to imagine it is a sexy female voice. Or if you prefer, Kalana just has a really, really deep voice.
I'm Liz, and I'm playing Umlaut, a young half-orc fighter from the Nibblefeet tribe. She's not the smartest one in the group, but Umlaut's unique perspective, fierce loyalty, and quirky superstitions make her a force to be reckoned with. Plus, she's not afraid to show off her fabulous sense of style, whether she's swinging her great axe or twirling in her pretty pink tutu.
I'm Dave, and I'm playing Felomir Wolfborn, a half-elf wild magic sorcerer. I'm the protector of the natural world and don't give a shit about mankind or its society, although I do love their ale, wine, and other intoxicants.
I'm Billy, and I'm playing as Thelonious the Monk. Get it? A 9-foot-tall, 500-pound tiefling who until recently had never left the monastery. As a man of God, I love shots, rope climbing, and orcs in tutus.
I'm Drew, and I'm your Dungeon Master.
It's time to die.
Everyone has currently gathered in the small town of Oakhurst. Some of you coming for different rumors of glory. Some coming around for also the fine prospects of gold. However, there has also just been flyers posted anywhere and everywhere to try and get this small village's current livestock problem. There seems to be creatures going about in the nearby fields where farmers, they don't want to take their livestock out to graze too far because they end up getting attacked. And a lot of this stems from local fear and superstition of something known as the Sunless Citadel. And so a call was put out and everyone has decided to make their way into the small village of Oakhurst. And everyone now is currently meeting, I guess, in the bar as we see people move their characters.
It's drinking time.
It's drinking time. You are currently sitting in the old Boar Inn. Garen,
cool,
is the barkeep behind the behind the bar. He's ready to serve you. Take your gold. Take your silver.
Right. I approach the barkeep. And I ask him about that very attractive orc wearing the tutu.
He kind of like looks her up and down and he scratches his face and he's all like, well, I don't really know who she is. She just kind of walked in. But you have that.
Felomir is still sitting in the shadowy corner finishing his horn of ale, surveying the bar, but not speaking to anyone just yet.
The barkeep pours you a shot of something, Felonius. You're not sure what it is, but he says like, you're going to need this.
All right, I drink the shot.
You feel a familiar burn in your throat and reminds you, you're like, ah, that's dwarven fire whiskey.
I approach the wizard drinking out of his horn, and I say, hello, I am Thelonious the Monk, and how you doing, buddy? What's your name?
Felomir.
That's all you say?
Sorcerer. What brings you to town?
I've never left the temple, you see. I've only ever been inside the temple walls, but I came to spread the word of the Great Lord. Have you heard of the Great Lord? Are you familiar with the Great Lord and his work and his greatness and the Lordness?
Seek more valuable things in life.
Wisdom beyond the ages. What a conversation to overhear. So I'm going to ignore these idiots in the corner who are having this very strange chat. And I'm going to ask, Kalana asks the bartender about this problem that they seem to be having in the local area. What can he tell me about what's been going on?
Umlet's ears are going to prick up a little bit at the question. She's a little bit interested too as she sits over in the corner.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a persuasion check, see if you can kind of like get a little bit of some information out of him.
Look at that nice high score.
Yeah, that's a good persuasion.
That's a Jane Austen persuasion.
I don't know how to respond to that.
As the only female, I feel like I had to laugh. It's
literary gags, all right. Appropriate.
The community in town, they're often fearful of this place called the Sunless Citadel. They know it's there. Not too many people go about it because it's rumored to be cursed. Like long ago, there's like bad juju and mojo. It supposedly belonged to a cult long ago.
Ooh.
You know, most people just try to stay away from it. But lately, something has been kind of like venturing out from the direction of the Sunless Citadel and attacking the local livestock. Cows have been left either dead or left with like deep, deep claw marks. And it usually tends to happen at night under the cover of dusk.
Amla just quietly whispers to herself, "Oh, but I'm a bit afraid of the dark. This sounds a bit scary."
So that's what the bartender's told us all?
That's what the bartender kind of gives you a little bit of an insight as to what the community itself has kind of been dealing with lately. And, you know, they put out the call for any adventurers to come and try and help with the village. No one's here like really like a hero per se. Like they have a few people who, you know, might put on some armor, and they do have the local town guard, but they need everyone here to try and like keep everybody safe and, you know, keep things kind of, you know, going normally.
Okay. So we need to find the mayor. Sounds like then the mayor is the right person to speak to. Thank you, barkeep. Kalana is going to wander in the direction. Any idea where the mayor is, by the way, Mr. Barkeep?
Like it's still it tells you like if you just go right out the door and you hang a left and straight ahead, it's just beyond the fountain.
Hey, Mr. Monk. Sounds like you're interested in this whole thing as well. Want to go find the mayor?
I'm definitely interested. I asked the bartender for 4 shots of courage before we go.
Kalana scratches her head at this and steps back in like, okay.
I divvy them out to Kalana.
Valamir is impressed by this and wanders over to join these interesting people.
I raise my shot glass to the ceiling and I say, "Friends, let us adventure to find the mayor."
Amlet puts her hand up and says, Can I come with you guys? That I'd like a go.
Good.
I'd like to be
another
helpful.
Another woman sounds good. Let's do this.
I too wish to find the mayor.
All right, so he tells you to he says that'll be 1 gold for all the shots.
Bloody hell, this place is expensive. It's all buggery.
Okay. I hand over the gold begrudgingly.
Right, so we've had our drink and we are wandering past the fountain, turn left, right?
You see the mayor's building off the left hand side. A guard kinda like steps over. He's just like, "Oh, like what is your business here?"
"We're off to see the mayor." The wonderful mayor of Oak. "We are answering the call.
I'm just here to feel included."
He gives you all the once over and he kind of looks you up and down. He says, "All right, just stay right there. I'll be right back." And he ventures inside. A few minutes later, you have an individual come outside. He is escorted by the guard and another gentleman. And they greet you and they say, "Welcome. Welcome. Why didn't everyone come inside and we can discuss what needs to happen?"
"Sure thing. Yeah, that's what we're here for."
I follow after Kalana. She seems to know what she's doing, so I let her go in first and then I step inside.
I'm the last in, just sort of following along.
The mayor tells you that right now it is the dealing of the local livestock being attacked. And he kind of like adjusts himself and he leans in. He says, "However, a newer problem has arisen. Locally, over at the general store, Carolyn Hucrell, her 2 kids have gone missing. Both of them fancied themselves to be adventurers. And so they took it upon themselves to scamper off and head towards the Sunless Citadel. And that was well over a month ago. And they have not returned."
"God. Well, they're dead."
"The woman is beside herself."
She needs to get real, frankly. Like, these are small children, I'm taking it.
She's had time to have some more by now.
Well, okay. Not like small children. Like, I mean, they're well adults, but they are her babies. They are her children.
fond of them. Fair enough.
Like they're full grown adults, but they're young adventurers. Like they're okay. young like adventurers. As
they're like capable of feeding themselves and stuff. We're not talking about like
100%. Yes, 100%.
Then the odds are slightly more in her favor.
Right. So her son has recently graduated from, you know, the kind of like training academy here in the valley, where that's where we get most of our local recruits for our guardsmen for the village and the surrounding area. And the daughter has actually learned from a man not too far in Baldur's Hill who taught magic to her. So both of them have skills upon their own, but they did go off to the Citadel and they have not returned. She would want anything to have any type of answers.
Okay. Thelonious, I stand up and I say, look, I'm going to go to the Citadel and look for these kids. I don't know about the rest of you guys. If you want to come with me, great. But I want to check out the Citadel anyway. As a man of the church, it sounds interesting to me. And I want to see what's going on. So I'm going to go look for these kids.
Kalana stands right alongside Thelonious and says, this cannot be allowed to stand. These poor people need help, and this mother in particular. Let us go.
Falamir will join you. More so to stop the slaughter of all these innocent livestock. Falamir can take or leave children, to be perfectly honest. But
Falamir has a thing for sheep.
Falamir respects the sanctity of all life.
Amlat likes children.
Likes to play with children? What do you like to do with children, Amlat? You're an orc.
Yes. Let's qualify that statement, Amlat.
Amlat just likes children. They get me. Yeah. Oh, not eat them. Thank you for clarifying.
Before we go, I look around the mayor's room just to see what's there and see if there's anything that might help us on our adventure.
Anything we can pinch on the way out.
Yeah.
What?
Gosh, you see like a hand-drawn map of the surrounding area.
Nice.
That would be handy.
You have, I guess, like a bookshelf full of random assortment of texts. You're not exactly sure, you know, what they pertain to. When you did, you know, speak and say, you know, as a member of the church, his attention kind of like gazed you, and he said, like, ah, well, then before you leave, you should very much go and possibly visit our shrine, say a prayer. Perhaps that will bring you some good luck.
Sure. Can we take the map too?
Kind of looks at you and he says, yeah, sure. I mean, just bring it back. I mean, that was my grandfather's map. Like, I mean, it really, it's only going to show you the village, the surrounding area, and ironically enough, where the Sun of the Citadel used to be. Ages past, rumor and legend says that it used to be above ground, but then something cataclysmic happened, and it sunk beneath this vast ravine. And now, it originally had a name, but it's long lost to history.
And that is why it's sunless.
And it forever became the Sunless Citadel, because it is out of Paylor's light.
Excellent.
So does that mean it's really dark?
I'm sure we'll have torches on that.
It's just really dark.
He gives you an eye, and he says, I am certain that there are places that are dark inside, yes.
Well, we're all a bit dark inside, I suppose, so all right then.
All right. Shall we sally forth, party?
We should. We should. Stopping by the temple, was it? The shrine? Yeah. What do we need? Have we got enough equipment for this adventure?
Yeah, I have 10 torches and a prayer wheel.
You do?
So I'm sorted.
Well, that'll be super useful.
Healing potions would be the one thing I'd immediately think of, but I don't think Umlaut would be smart enough to think of that.
Falamir pauses to consider his low hit points and agrees about the healing potions. Right.
Well, Umlaut didn't suggest it. She's not smart enough for that. That's all Liz.
Disembodied voice of Liz. I agree.
I head to the shrine and I see a person inside. And I say, hello, as a man of God, I'm curious about your shrine. Is there any advice that you can give me before I venture forth on an adventure?
You go to the shrine. You have a gnome walks up to you, and she looks at you and she says, like,
greetings. I am Dim Knackle, but you can call me Corky. Where are you off to?
We're heading to the Sunless Citadel. There's been some problems there, and we're trying to help some children.
Oh, well. Paylor's light be upon you. What can we get you? I mean, anything for heroes. You are heroes.
Yes, we are heroes. I fell near to my left and I say, yes, yes, we are heroes. Ignore that, man. I ask if the gnome has any healing potions that she might be willing to part with.
She reaches underneath the counter and pulls out 4 vials. And she says,
these can do it. They're 40 gold pieces each.
Wow.
I ask if she would be willing to lower that price at all. I look down at her and I say, as a man of God, are you willing to do the God's work and give us a discount?
She kind of like leans in and she goes,
which God?
I look back and I say, well, the one, of course.
And that is?
I'm like mumbles, well, Cord is the best one. And like just pulls out a little statue, that like a little doll that she's carrying that she's made herself, that's a representation of Cord.
Like I don't know, are there rules in this game? Can I throw the elf down and just run out of the shrine with the healing potions?
You mean the gnome?
The gnome, yeah.
No,
you can, but there'll be consequences.
You can, but yeah, there would be consequences.
And what,
are you also evil?
I'm chaotic good. Okay. What constitutes a dice roll? Like, can I try and like sneakily take one of the potions? Like, what?
I mean, they're kind of in front of her.
Okay.
And you're like in the midst of almost like a bargaining deal.
Yeah. Can I roll a dice of persuasion here?
Sure.
I try and persuade the gnome.
All right, that's the last time you persuade anything.
So we'll see if your persuasion can beat just a straight dice roll for me. And by gum.
Oh.
She kind of looks at you when you're all like, but like the god, and she kind of looks you up and down. She said, like,
I know you were a man of failure.
Yes.
So she kind of says, she's like, okay, fine.
30 gold.
Falamir wanders in and says, are you sure you don't mean for the whole set?
She kind of looks at the tiefling and she's like, it's like,
you pay what we agreed. No, I didn't mean the whole set.
Okay.
Fat lot of good that persuasion roll was.
All right.
Well, it's already striking a deal.
Yeah,
Normal healing potions cost 50 gold each.
Okay.
All right. I think we buy that. Yeah. I'm happy to buy that. I'm taking my 30 gold piece.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Falamir mutters under his breath, better hope those kids don't die or this will be the reason why.
All
right. So when she hears that, she says, like, kids? You must go talk to Carowin. Please go talk to Carowin. She's in the general store. It's her children. They've been gone for over a month.
I thank the gnome and I take the potions and I turn to the rest of the gang and I say, all right, well, let's go talk to this broad. What do you guys think?
Let's do it. Kalana is less about the talking and marching with purpose. Let's get this done.
Amulet says, how do you know that she's broad? Like, we haven't met her yet. I don't understand, but I'm happy to talk to her. I'm not going to take one of these potions because I'm very tough and also Cord will look after me. And also my dad would not be happy if I was just spending the gold he gave me. So I'm fine, but thank you.
All right. So inside, you come across a woman inside. She is a female human and she welcomes you. She says, like, oh, well, welcome to Oakhurst. How can I help you?
We are set to go looking for the sunless, what was it called again? The sunken...
Sunless citadel.
Sunless
citadel. In almost like an exasperated tone. She's all like, you mustn't go. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go there.
That's what we're here for, to help your community. And as we understand it, you have some experience with this place.
She kind of nods to you and she says that that her children, her son, Talgan, and her daughter, Sharwin, went off, and they haven't been back. And they even went with another paladin and a rogue, and none of them have returned.
Did they have a sorcerer?
They did, my daughter. She said, if you're going to go, please, you must bring me back some word. I need some type of any update. Like, I'm not one. I'm not brave. I'm no hero to go off into the Sunless Citadel. She said, please, if you bring me back Bring me back any word. In fact, bring me my children home. If you bring them back to me, I will give you 100 gold each. If you bring me back my children alive, I will give you 250 gold each. My children are everything to me. Please bring them back to me.
Adventuring doesn't pay for itself, so this seems like a pretty good deal to me. What do you think, crew?
Felomir is very much on board.
Of course we will. As a man of God, you know, God says that, you know, the meek shall help the meek. So, yeah, let's do it.
Felomir says, so and the three of us will split your share, will we?
No, I'll still take the gold. But that's not why I'm doing it, you know? Like, I'll take the gold, but it's more just like a little bonus, you know?
Umlaut just wants to see the children.
Well, that'll buy you around about 1,000 shots, if I'm not mistaken.
I asked the lady if there's anything that she can give us that might help us on our journey to search for her children.
She's not sure what you would need. I mean, in her mind, even going there is simply dangerous. Like, again, her children went off with two experienced adventurers, a paladin and a rogue, and none of them have come back. So she's not entirely sure what you would be needing. She starts to kind of like gather some stuff. She gathers some rope, some flint and steel. She grabs 4 days of rations, and she says, "Here, hopefully this can help."
I take it graciously, and I say, "Thank you."
Excellent. I think we have everything we need. I think it's time to find this godforsaken place.
I pull out the map.
To the Citadel.
I pull out the map that we took from the mayor, and I ask one of the other guys to look at it and tell me where it is, because I'm not great at directions.
Felomir understands the wilderness and peruses the map.
Umlaut looks at the writing and says, "What pretty squiggles." She can't read.
So you look at the map, and the map itself definitely gives you an easy kind of like looking way about it.
Suddenly heads down the old road.
We exit through the south road.
So yes, you are heading down the old road.
I'll just follow.
As you guys take a couple of hours to walk down the old road, you enjoy the countryside, some fields, you know, filled with wheat. As you guys are walking along, I would love everyone to give me a perception check.
Why are my numbers so much lower than everyone else's?
You're probably still drunk.
Don't worry, I'm there with you.
You guys don't really notice anything? Just, you know, fields to your right and to your left, farmland. The sun is, you know, about midday. It's starting to get, you know, a little bit into the afternoon. And you eventually make your way. You've come over to a sandy ledge that overlooks a subterranean gulf of darkness to the west. The ledge is wide, but it's rough. Sand, rocky debris, and the bones of small animals cover it. A rough-hewn stairwell zigs and zags down the side of the ledge, descending into darkness.
Before looking at the stairs, I'm going to investigate this circle of stones that I find myself adjacent to.
While he's investigating the stones, Umlaut's just going to go straight over to, like, see if she can see over the edge.
While you are investigating the little, what appears to be like a fire pit, you can see that there are humanoid footprints surrounding the area. There seems to be also tracks, but they seem to be familiar, but larger than what you're actually used to. Give me another survival check. You're not sure. They appear to be maybe of a small mammal. And looking over the edge, you know, you're getting...
Dizzy? I'm getting a little dizzy.
Not dizzy, but you do notice the stairs as they start to, you know, zig and zag and down. As you're looking down over the edge, can you give me a survival check as well? So with your survival check, you're actually noticing that they look like rat tracks. They look like the little footprints of rats. However, when I say little footprints, they are much larger than like rats that you would have in your hand. It's like a pet.
Excellent. Rodents of unusual size. I've heard
definitely
of these somewhere before.
Rodents of unusual size.
I used to have a pet rat.
And so as everyone is actually kind of like gathering over near the edge from behind you, some rats appear.
Oh, excellent. Right near me. Perfect. That's exactly where you want the gorgeous, beautiful elven rogue to be, in the right the front of the firing line.
Umla likes rats. I used to have a little pet rat.
Yes.
So yeah, these are
totally
like my pets.
You should go try and
cuddle
one.
Can we be friends? She yells, can we be friends?
Kill the fucking rats, Umlet.
All right, I'm going to need everybody to roll some initiative.
Okay. I got a 14. Me and Billy are running together.
Heck yeah. Dude, Dave, did you roll pie?
Yeah. Why is it 3.14?
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
Wow.
Falamir's hungry and thinking of pie.
Totally roll pie.
Yeah, why did you get, how did you get 3.14, Dave?
I just clicked initiative.
I've never seen
and my
that.
My initiative is 2.14. I don't know what happened. We'll just tell your mother we ate it.
He rolled a nat 1, and it added his initiative, which apparently is 2.14. So that's how he got.
Clearly, I am the first.
Yeah, you are first.
I whip out my rapier because now the rat's right on top of me. There's no chance to run around and try and stab at the back, and I'm going to stab it right in his pointy fucking face.
Do it.
Seems legit.
Roll it onto the fire spurt.
Okay, so an 11 misses.
Oh, stupid rat.
Maybe if you had a wider sword.
Thelonious, you are.
All right. From where I'm standing, I have a clear view of this rat that I think will miss everyone else. So I shoot my light crossbow at it.
And it misses.
What a great start this
week. We are a shit adventuring party,
it's
guys.
It's so fun at level 1 because you're so useless. Is it me?
Madam Orc.
Okay, so I do a little pirouette and swing around my great axe and I hit for 13.
Well, a 13 does hit.
Of course it does. Yay. Bam. That I'm like yells bam and then does 6 slashing damage.
Okay, that is like you cleave into this rat. It is blood everywhere. It's still kind of like, it's almost like trying to drag itself away, but it's not getting away fast enough, and it's just snarling and hissing at you. And because of that, it's going to try and bite you now.
Well, I'm sorry, but I did want to be friends. This is really on you.
I'm gonna guess a 7 does not hit you.
It does not.
Okay. Well, the other rat, seeing what you did to its friend, is definitely going to try and bite you.
I'm like, bring it, stinky rat.
So that's a 15. And I
still
believe... Nope. Does not hit you.
Nice.
My AC is 18. I have a huge AC. Yeah.
You do. Salamir.
That's not a euphemism.
Does the wizard want to pull his finger out of his ass at any point and help?
Yeah, can you do something, man? Even I, a man of God, had a go.
If Felomir fires off a firebolt, can he sort of arc it gently?
You need line
over.
Of sight.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll do that then. So I'm going to fireball this top one.
All right, so a 9 does not hit the rat's armor.
The rat's armor? Has it got like little, oh my God, please say it has like a little chainmail on? Like really adorable.
It's not
little
chainmail. They've kind of been digging
it looks
in
like
the trash.
It looks like Reepy Cheek from Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Hat. I wanted to have a little hat.
They've been digging in the trash, so it's like a Chinese takeout box is on top of his head. And...
That'll do.
A small rapier made from a safety pin.
Slushy cups over its arms. It's ready to go. Okay, so back at the top of the round, Kalana.
Well, I need to stab this thing that's already wounded and hopefully finish it off.
It does look pretty bad.
So I'm going to give this another bash. Here we go.
Even with an 11, it does not hit.
So far I've rolled a 8 and a 6. Brilliant.
Okay. I rush over to the uninjured rat and I smash it in the face with my mace. And I'm guessing I miss.
You mean you attempt to smash it in the face?
Smash the ground.
Flail uselessly.
We are an absolute Mickey Mouse adventuring party.
You are the typical.
Hey, Thelonious, thanks for fucking up my line of sight as well. Get ready for a firebolt, buddy.
You are the typical D&D party. 100%. Umlaut.
I'm like, guys, let me show you how it's done. And so we've got one that's really looking quite bad to the left of me, and
yes,
this clown to the right of me that's fine,
clowns
right?
to the left of you, jokers mm-hmm. to the right. Yep.
That's kind of what I was trying to do just badly. Okay, so Umlaut's going to be like, let me at least finish this other guy off, the wounded one, and goes again with the great axe. Hits for 25, which I'm going to say.
Crit?
That's a critical
that
hit.
That appears to be a crit,
oh, that is a that
our
is
first
a critical hit.
Bam. Oh. Bam.
The rat explodes.
I feel like that means something for me.
Yeah. It so
means the rat's not going to kill me. Excellent.
Yeah, I actually get a savage attack on that. It says when I score a critical hit, I can roll one of the weapon's dice one additional time and add it to the extra damage.
Okay, so that's your half-orc feat. I was also going to be giving you a chance to give me a D100, if you would.
Ooh. Okay.
Because you just rolled a critical hit, so I'm going to roll on a critical hit chart. You know what? We'll do both. To hell with it.
Alrighty.
We'll do both.
So give me on this on this rat that
yeah,
probably
well,
has two hit points.
It's already nearly dead.
Exactly. give me a D20.
It's going to explode.
Okay. And then for the actual thing, I'll need to do a 2D12 plus 3, I think. So let me.
Sure.
This rat's going to be disappearing into a fine pink mist.
I got 30 plus 3, so I got 33 damage on this rat. Do you think it kills it?
So my question is, what rat? Because there's no more rat. There's nothing on the ground.
It killed it and its ancestors.
I like to think I pick up my great axe and like just smash it down on it, and it just pulverizes it into like this goo, just like this.
Oh yeah, there it is. It's just smeared. It's smeared in the, onto the ground.
And then Umlaut is gonna just do a little curtsy, like with her tutu, and just be like, ta-da.
And that's how it's done.
You might want to pay attention to the rat that's to your right, Umlaut.
All right.
Yeah, I'll get to that one.
Thelonious, the rat is going to try and bite you. No, an 8 does not hit your 15. See, so it now goes to Falmir, who has been covered up.
I'm going to stand in the fire pit. That's the smear. On the left, so I'll target the ratty rat face up the top. Let's try this firebolt again.
Ooh, that looks better.
The firebolt does hit.
Lightly singed.
Ooh, nice, 23 to hit.
Damage you did. No, you hit it. It you know, it popped a little bit of fire and it screeched a little bit.
Does it stay alight and keep taking
No. The fire it's cool. A quick little light. Almost like a little bit of a flare went off. So... it goes back to Kalana.
Am I right in saying that rat is now facing Thelonious, so its back is to that spot up there?
Backstab it!
You know what? Sure. Yes, because it did try to...
So I'm going to step up into this bud here and stab it in its ass.
All right, you casually step over
rat goop. Through rat goop. I've got no worries about my boots.
Slide through.
And you can get advantage... So with the 23, you definitely hit.
Great.
Add your sneak attack. Oh, yeah. You drive your rapier right into that rat. It dies.
Yay.
There we go. We survived.
We did it, gang.
Woohoo.
We did some
Two
murders.
Rats ain't got nothing
Fuck
on us.
Fuck those rats, guys. Fuck those rats. Thelonious steps over to the fire pit, and I light a small fire and pull out some shots to celebrate.
Falamir quickly gets out of the fire pit and says, dude!
As you guys are celebrating your victory over the rats, you're kind of looking around again at the fire pit as he is, you know, setting up a round of shots. You're noticing some pillars that are near the fire pit as well, and you start seeing some markings on them. Does anybody speak goblin?
I'm going to go out on a ledge and say no. Even if I spoke it, I can't read it.
I speak goblin. I speak a little jive.
Excellent.
So as you are raising the shots and everyone is kind of like, you know, celebrating, as you kind of like lean in and you look at the markings on this pillar that's set up around the ledge of the ravine and the switchback stairs, in Goblin you read, "Stay out or die."
sounds like an invitation to me.
Falamir tells the rest of the party that it's not important writing and they should just ignore it.
Writing never really seems that important, as far as I can tell.
Next time on Time to Die.
While they sort of lie down, Umlaut wants to go over to the rat that she killed, and she's going to pull out a small dagger, and she's going to stab it in the eyes.
Fucking dark.
you successfully stab it in the eyes.
Thanks for listening to Time to Die. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do that at pottymouthradio.com or pottymouthradio@gmail.com or on all the socials at pottymouthradio.